In our Ideas Matter segment, we take time just about every week to check in with the state humanities councils in our seven-state region. Today, we're going to speak with Ann Mosier and learn about engaged placemaking in the process of what she calls urban acupuncture, how sketch mapping a community can bring out deeply buried memories about places and do so in a targeted way. Ann Mosier is Associate Professor of Geography at Syracuse University and a New York Council for the Humanities Public Scholar, and a great pleasure to welcome Ann Mosier to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Very nice. Thank you very much for being on the program. I appreciate you taking the time out. So I mentioned a lot of words there. Talk to me a little bit about urban acupuncture and what that really means.
Okay. Well, maybe I should start by talking about what I do as a geographer, and then we'll kind of work forward and get to urban acupuncture at the end.
All sounds good.
Okay, good. So I'm a geographer, and one of my areas of expertise is community memory mapping, which is a research activity that can be a facet of engaged placemaking and urban acupuncture. And community memory mapping is something that I've been doing as part of my research and teaching for nearly 30 years. But in the past couple of years, I've learned that this new way of thinking about planning, engaged placemaking, is somewhere where I can find a practical use for this community memory mapping technique. So it's no longer just an academic endeavor, but something that can help make a pretty immediate difference within a community. So engaged placemaking, it's a hybridized form of community organizing, economic development, urban planning that takes the placemaking process in a distinct direction that's place-based, social asset-centered, and culture and arts-oriented. And it involves local conversations between really unlikely coalitions of participants who are trying to answer the question about neighborhoods and communities, and that is, what's already special about this place, and what do residents value as community treasures and talents that we could then build upon in doing some projects that could be considered to be urban acupuncture projects. So urban acupuncture is a term that has been popularized by a Brazilian planner by the name of Jaime Lerner, and he recently published a book on this. And really what it amounts to are sort of small-scale interventions within urban environments. Usually there are arts projects that involve local residents and serve as an opportunity for residents to express their love or their concerns about a place through art installations, through performance art, through gardening. There are a whole variety of things that can be part of that. But these small interventions, they're intended to kind of strike a nerve, like acupuncture does, and generate some really interesting spillover effects that invigorate a community and help people remember why places can be delightful.
We forget that sometimes, don't we?
Yeah, exactly.
So where does it begin? Who is responsible for getting this train moving?
Well, generally, like I mentioned, it's usually a very unlikely coalition of participants. And one of the things that I've noted and that my students have helped me understand as they've gone about researching urban acupunctures around the or projects around the country is that these things generally start with the local population, but oftentimes the thing that gets it going are students who have service our requirements to fulfill or understand that, you know, getting out and doing community engagement is going to look good on their resume. And instead of just going into an existing organization, what some colleges and universities and other not-for-profit organizations are doing is they're helping to organize teams of students to go into places and just listen to residents and sort of serve as a sounding board for residents' dreams and hopes for what a community might become, and then talking it, you know, through with them more about, well, what would you actually like to do with us in a community that might improve it or make it more interesting, a more livable kind of place. So oftentimes the money that gets tapped into to make these visions become a reality will come from foundations. It can come from anchor institutions like hospitals or colleges or universities. It can come from private businesses. Generally, it does not come from local government, although local governments can be supportive and sometimes get involved kind of late in the game. But generally, it starts with residents and, again, a lot of times with students who are looking to do something in their community.
When you think about the overall project of that doing something in your community, is it fully formed as to what they want to do, and does the project have a beginning, middle, and an end?
Well, right now I'm in the midst of co-leading a course at Syracuse University about this topic with Marilyn Higgins, who is the Vice President for Community Engagement and Economic Development at SU. And she has several decades worth of experience in this area, first working in community and economic development in the private sector and then coming over to Syracuse. And so the course that we're co-teaching this semester, we've divided the students into three groups and have told them, you know, what the basic outlines are or expectations are for how to go about doing an urban acupuncture project. And the first one is you need to get into the community and start talking to people, and moreover, not just talking to them, but really listening to them and finding out what, again, their hopes and dreams are for this place, what their memories are for the place. And then we'll see how it evolves from there. And right now, we're midway through these projects, and the students have come up with action plans. They have budgets. All of this has been done in conjunction with residents, and the hope is that, you know, this semester will end, but this project is going to remain. Hopefully it will spark conversations within the community, and so hopefully there is no end to it, and the students will be a catalyst for bringing people together in new ways.
I understand the idea of there being no end to it, but there are phases to the project.
Absolutely.
The students have an end goal of what they want to accomplish in the time that they have their hands on the project.
Absolutely, yes. Their goal is to sometime in April have either a community event or an unveiling. I don't want to say too much about their projects because people do listen to your program in Central New York.
I know.
And there are a couple of projects that are underway that have a guerrilla arts component to them. And so I don't want to steal their thunder or anything. But currently, they have really been spending a lot of time just in the community, again, mapping the community, getting a sense of what people have valued about the community stories that people know and share that could be used as the basis for, I guess, a thematic element to the projects themselves. So they've done all of that work. They've identified sites for these urban acupuncture projects to go. They've received permission to use these sites, and now they're moving into the phase of procuring all of the materials that they'll need to do this and doing publicity. We just met with a communications expert yesterday who was helping them come up with a basic press release and how to go about doing a press conference. And these are all very new ideas for most of these students who are generally juniors and senior undergraduates. And so they're going to come away with some interesting skills at the same time that they're going to be learning about this specific technique of urban intervention and doing something good for the community at the same time.
When you think about the the longevity of projects like this. And I guess my overall question is about communities that are more suited for this than others.
Yes.
Is this something that you see as being universal with some tweaking, or are there really communities that are poised more than others?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. The students are currently working in three different neighborhoods in Syracuse that we deliberately chose because they are three very different neighborhoods. One is a 1940s/50s suburban neighborhood that has gone through some real demographic shifts in terms of age structure over the last several years, and they have a lot of community space that is underutilized because they don't have a lot of young families in the neighborhood, although that is starting to change. And then another neighborhood is considered to be one of the most impoverished in the United States. There's been a lot of work done in this neighborhood already, and the community is sort of on board and primed for it and excited about whenever a new one of these projects starts up, they're game for it. But that's because there's been a lot of groundwork laid there already. And then the last neighborhood, which has been, I think, a real challenge for this particular team to work with, has actually been a section of downtown where there happens to be a large number of condos and residential rental properties. There's hotels. There also are a number of homeless. So it's a real hodgepodge and a very dense urban fabric, and finding a place to do this kind of intervention has been a real challenge for that group. So, you know, these projects can take many forms, and the forms that they take really do depend on what, you know, residents, I mean, it's largely dependent upon residents, you know, kind of identifying the themes, the sorts of assets the community has already, the kinds of interventions that they might like to see, and then helping the teams that come in from the outside find the spaces to actually do it. So generally, I think that these kinds of things, they seem to work well in larger cities, but they also work well down the urban hierarchy in smaller communities. I know that there are a number of communities that are doing things like quilt walks. I can't say that word very well. Quilt walks, where they'll make these sort of quilt tiles on acetate and embed them into sidewalks in really small places. You know, 2,000 or 3,000 people are doing these sorts of interventions just to kind of, you know, liven up the place and add some color.
Well, Ann Mosier is Associate Professor of Geography at Syracuse University and New York Council's for the Humanities Public Scholar. You can find out more information about her work as well as about the Ideas Matter Project and what is happening at Syracuse University by going to our website, wamc.org/roundtable, where we have links there. Ann Mosier, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. I appreciate it. Best of luck in your project.
Thank you so much. It was really fun.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Coming up next, the Congressional Corner, you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.